It is an enormous role. It comes with a huge amount of responsibility being the FIA president, so much so that he is willing to accept that his relationship with his son, which he prides over everything, that he has been so involved with that career, that this role means so much to him that he would be willing to step back from his son's career to make sure that he did the job properly.
Hello and welcome to this emergency edition of the James Allen on F1 podcast brought to you by Autosport. We're getting behind today's breaking news story that former WRC champion Carlos Sainz, father of the Williams F1 driver of the same name, is set to challenge Mohamed Bensoulayem for the FIA presidency later this year. Now, Bensoulayem was elected 4 years ago, but it's been a turbulent tenure with some successes on improving things like access to the sport at grassroots level, but some odd things too, some strange rows with F1 drivers about jewellery and many other things, and a number of high-profile defections recently. So what does it all mean? We'll get into all of these questions with Motorsport Network's global editorial director, Rebecca Clancy, who broke the story on Autosport and Motorsport earlier today. Rebecca, thank you for coming on. It's been quite the day for you, I'm sure. But first of all, let's start with the gist of the story. What happened today and what has Carlos Sainz told you?
Hi, James. Yeah, it's been quite a busy day. I'm only just back from Miami and it was all a bit of a whirlwind. As is often the case, when you're on the ground, you get some intel and things progressed to a stage where I was able to write the story that Carlos Sainz Sr., the two-time World Rally Champion, was very seriously considering a run for FIA president. Just to be clear, he hasn't confirmed that he is going to be a candidate. I have since spoken to him since I broke the initial story, and he has said he is now very seriously, in his words, considering running against Mohamed Bensoulayem. He feels like now is the right time. He said to me he had considered it over the years. He's been driving for 40-odd years, very, very successful driver, still racing now, actually. He won the Dakar Rally only, where are we now, last year with Audi. So still very much involved with motorsport. As you say, he's also a very familiar figure within the Formula One paddock with his son racing at Williams. So yes, he'd toyed with the idea of running for president before, but I think because he has been so active that it hasn't really gone anywhere. And now he sees that maybe, as he said to me, that he has a lot of experience within sport, within motorsport. He said motorsport had given him everything. And now was the time for him to see what he could give back.
So what's the reaction been so far?
Well, it's interesting in terms of the reaction. I've had a lot of very positive reaction, but that does tend to be the case when you're the one who breaks the story. What has surprised me is that at the start of the year, it didn't feel like anyone was actually going to stand against Bensoulayem, that perhaps he would run for a second term uncontested. It's not actually that unusual for FIA presidents in their second or third term to go uncontested. But you mentioned it at the start there, James. There have been so many controversies. I mean, you sort of touched on them a bit earlier, but, you know, he was investigated for potentially tampering with the race result in Saudi Arabia. He then accused the Wolffs of a conflict of interest with Suzy Wolff, as obviously managing director at F1 Academy, and husband Toto running Mercedes. That claim was dropped 2 days later when all of the other nine teams, obviously not including Mercedes, but all the other nine teams put out a joint statement, which is very rare, saying that they hadn't had any problems with the two of them and their roles that they had within the sport. And I believe there is a legal case still ongoing with that. You mentioned about the swearing. George Russell was actually very strong about the swearing in Miami last week, saying that they still haven't actually spoken to the president since they wrote an open letter, which said, please treat us like adults, basically. Bensoulayem has been very strict about how he doesn't want drivers swearing. The rally drivers actually staged a protest against the swearing ban. They refused to do any media. And if they did do media, they refused to do it in English. Although I think the only swear words most people know in other languages are the swear words. So I don't know if they got away with that. So it has been very interesting. And I thought talking to Carlos Sainz Sr. Later today, after I broke the story, he was saying how the experience of being a driver would lead to him very much listening to everyone. And he was very clear about it. He was saying it wasn't just listening to the heads of the respective series, but it was also listening to the drivers, to the stewards, to the manufacturers, to even social media, he mentioned, you know, the importance, the fans. And so I think that is very much going to be how he, if he goes ahead, my feeling is that he will. At the moment, he's very much trying to determine how much support he has. The reason the story came about is because some key figures from within the motorsport community approached him and said, have you thought about running? Is it something of interest? And as I said, he had previously thought about it. And with all of the controversies, which I have to say, he wouldn't be drawn on. In fact, I'll tell you exactly what he said to me. I asked him about the recent controversies, because they have run really throughout the 4 years, nearly 4 years that Ben Salem has been in charge. He said, I think obviously lately there has been some controversy, but I want to concentrate on myself. I leave the judgment to others. If I do run for this, and he means president, it will not be to fight anyone. It will be out of passion and love for motorsport, because I believe I can help and improve certain things. So I thought that was very interesting, because you could get dirty in the campaign as well, looking at US politics in particular. I promise FIA politics is no different. But it doesn't look like, if he does run for it, that he has no intention of running a dirty campaign or using those controversies. He is from speaking to him, he would run a campaign that was very much, here is what I can offer you, not here's what's wrong with the other guy.
Yeah, he definitely seems to be positioning himself, judging from the quotes that you've come up with from him, that you know, he sees himself very much as another option for the members to vote for. We'll talk a little bit about how the election will work in December and who actually gets to vote, because it's not like a normal political election where everybody gets to vote. This is a very specific group of people who will elect the FIA president. But it's probably worth pointing out that, you know, certainly during my career, there's been been a number of quite controversial FIA presidents. I mean, when I first started, there was Jean-Marie Balestre, who was famously in the Senna movie, and he was quite a controversial figure. He was then replaced by Max Mosley, who was very, very close to Bernie Eccleston. And he was certainly a very confrontational figure. The controversy came towards the end of his tenure with a sort of scandal that broke out in the UK and in the tabloid press. Then there was 12 years of Jean Todt, who was very much a consensus seeker in that role. There was quite a lot of tension within the FIA, within FIA circles, but he was very much externally someone who wanted to sort of develop the sport and work very closely with Chase Carey in Formula One to bring in things like the cost cap and all those type of things. So it's an interesting context that this comes up in. But I wonder, can we just zero in on the father-son relationship? Because the first thing I think a lot of people would think, Rebecca, when they see this story of yours, is, hang on a second, how can he be the FIA president if his son is racing in a Formula One team? Do we see that as a conflict of interests?
He certainly doesn't. I completely understand the point. I think people are, it's a very valid question. I think it's an important question. And it is, of course, a question I put to him. Actually, when I put it to him, he laughed, fully expecting me to ask the question. I'll read you out the answer. And as I said, he's a very familiar face within the paddock. He has been very heavily involved with his son's career. But he makes the point that his son, Carlos Sainz Jr., has been around a while. And he said to me, I have my track record and people know me well enough to understand that this will not be an issue for the father-son. Obviously, I will have to step down regarding my role with Carlos and his career, but this is not an issue at all. He's not a child anymore. He has been in F1 for a decade now. And we both know that if I go ahead with this project, our relationship will change. Of course, the FIA is a very serious entity and there will be no conflict. So I think he is being very clear there. And actually, when you see the quote, when he was saying it to me, my thought was, crikey, you know, it is an enormous role. It comes with a huge amount of responsibility being the FIA president, so much so that he is willing to accept that his relationship with his son, which he prides over everything, his children, not just Carlos, but his children, that he has been so involved with that career, that this role means so much to him that he would be willing to step back from his son's career to make sure that he did the job properly. And actually, when I was listening to him speak and he was telling me the answer, I found that to be quite telling.
Yeah, I think it would probably be more difficult if Sainz Jr. was still a Ferrari driver. I think the politics would be ramped up a bit around that, were Carlos Sr. to run and to win. But as a Williams driver at the moment and with their sort of prospects over the next period, then it's probably slightly less. But I think it's really up to others to decide whether they think it's a conflict of interest, isn't it?
It is. And you mentioned Ferrari. You mentioned Jean Todt. You know, Jean Todt was the team principal of a very successful Ferrari team. There were no end of questions about him becoming FIA president. I think sometimes with these roles, when so senior, it's impossible to not have some sort of conflict of interest. You look at Stefano Domenicali again with Ferrari. There were question marks over how he would take on that role as leading Formula One forward. I don't think anyone can say there's been any issues with Stefano Domenicali. Certainly none that I'm aware of. I feel like he treats every team fairly. Okay, privately, he may have a penchant still for Ferrari, let's say. But he certainly doesn't come across as he's treating the teams any differently. And I think when you're so involved, you know, Carlos Sainz Sr. has been around for more than 40 years. His rally career dates back to the 1980s. I think sometimes there will always be some element that people will be able to latch onto, that there will be some sort of conflict of interest. I think the key is to address it, hit it head on, and try and alleviate any issues that may come from it.
Yeah, and of course, you're absolutely right. It's very important that whoever leads a sporting federation, it's all about sporting fairness, isn't it? Well, Domenicali is different because he's all about getting the maximum revenue from the rights of Formula One for shareholders and for the business, whereas can't really affect the outcome of races. Neither can the FIA president, but obviously, clearly, the whole, you know, the stewards and a lot of the decision making, the rule making. You know, ultimately, the top of the tree there is the FIA president. It's also worth pointing out that for the last few years of Jean Todt's presidency, his son Nicolas was managing Charles Leclerc, the Sauber, and then Ferrari driver. So, you know, nobody made a huge fuss about that. So it'll be interesting to see if Sainz runs and if he is successful, how that all plays out. He's not really been involved, Rebecca, on the political side before, or in, as far as I know, in politics. He's not, therefore, a politician. He's not run one of the national sporting federations, but as you mentioned earlier on, he probably knows as much about how that all works and who a lot of those people are, the different presidents of the national federations who will be doing the voting, if you like, as anybody in the sport.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And one of the things that he actually said to me when we were speaking earlier was he is currently trying to figure out how much support he can get from within the community. And he said, and who would potentially be in my team? Because as you say, he doesn't have that political experience. He's got very good experience in running a vineyard, by the way, if that's of any use to anyone voting. But yes, politically, he doesn't have that experience. And I think that was also interesting that he made that point, because who he surrounds himself with, it will inevitably, as these things happen, if he does run, there will be campaigns. James, I know you're going to touch on in a second how the election process works, but it'll be really important to get those local clubs on side and make sure that he can offer them what they need versus what Ben Salem is offering them at the moment. And I think that will be really important. His team, who he surrounds himself with, and maybe a very nice bottle of red wine.
So let's just get into it then. I mean, we've talked about the personalities on both sides. Let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of how this would work. You mentioned earlier on, Rebecca, that the election will be as part of the General Assembly. That takes place at the same time, in fact, just before the prize giving at the end of each year, which is in December. And this year, it's taking place in Uzbekistan, which might be a bit of a surprise to people. So the world champion, whoever that's, Norris or Piastri or Verstappen, will have to travel to Uzbekistan to collect their trophy.
Well, all three will have to travel. The top three,
All three of them will, exactly. I probably share a plane.
Kimi Räikkönen, once he finished third in the world championship, and he was absolutely devastated because it meant he had to go to the FIA gala.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it's in a long distance. Nothing wrong with Uzbekistan as a country, but it's a fair distance.
Another flight.
Anyway. So how does it all work? Well, I've been at a few of these FIA presidential elections in the past. And the first thing I would say about this is it's very hard for candidates to actually read the support they have. I was in Paris when Graham Stoker, who was John Todd's deputy, ran against Ben Sulliam. So although Stoker wasn't the incumbent, he was the incumbent administration, and he lost. He only got, I think, 36% of the vote to Ben Sulliam, who got 61%, with then his deputy president for sport, Robert Reed, former rally co-driver, world champion, alongside him. And I can tell you that on the eve of that election, they did not have a clue how much support they actually had. They knew what they thought they had, and so did Graham Stoker. But when it actually came to it, both sides were surprised. Bensalem was surprised by how many votes he got. And I think Stoker was very surprised that people he thought were with him had fallen away. And so anybody who tells you literally before the election that they know what's going to happen is kidding themselves, because there's a lot of, it's a kind of herd mentality. And when the herd moves, it moves and it can move away. And there's quite often some influences in the background. Last time round, you remember, Rebecca, it was David Richards who a few months out backed Bensalem to everyone's great surprise. They thought he would back his fellow Brit, Graham Stoker, but he didn't. And then there were various other people on the eve of that election in December 2021 who moved the herd. And I kind of watched that happening in the bars and the areas around the election. So since then, Robert Reid has resigned, as we mentioned earlier on. Malcolm Wilson's been put forward now to be the deputy president. And what happens is that the other thing that's really interesting is it's quite hard to get your team together. You mentioned this earlier on. You need to have a candidate, as well as yourself, for president of the Senate, deputy president of automotive, deputy president for sport, seven vice presidents, and one of Bensalem's vice presidents is Fabiana Eccleston, Bernie Eccleston's wife, and then all your candidates for the World Motorsport Council. You've got to have all these people lined up. You've got to have people, vice presidents, representing each of the different regions, you know, Africa, Asia, Europe, all that kind of thing. You've got to have the support of at least six full members of each of the three classes. So it's not like literally I'm putting my name in the hat. You've got to line up a lot of people. And that really does tend to favor the incumbent, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's funny as you're talking, obviously the timing and everything that's happening, it makes me think of the motorsport equivalent of the conclave as they vote for the new Pope.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting one. It's all smoke, mirrors, cloak and daggers, all of that. Yes, it does tend to favour the incumbent. Jean Todt decided to step down at the end of his 12 years. He wasn't defeated. We had this run. It's interesting you mentioned there about David Richards, because he obviously is one of the people recently who has come out against the current governance of the FIA. We were told that they were in a recent General Assembly meeting. They were made to sign NDAs. A few people refused, including David Richards, and they weren't admitted to that meeting. So it's interesting how quickly as well popularity can change, who works for you, who works against you, how the voting itself actually works is interesting, because it is, and the reason I was thinking of the conclave with the cardinals and from the regions they come in and they vote, in terms of the voting, it's this the clubs from around the world who vote for the FIA president. So for as much as we have to say within the media, within the different racing series, it actually doesn't really matter. It's the FIA, all of the voting members will get together and have their say. And it's interesting. Normally, I would say it does favour the incumbent. I think given the amount of controversy at the moment around the governance and the leadership, I'll be very interested to see how much support he retains. But, you know, you mentioned key people there. Flavia Eccleston is huge. I mean, she's the head of the LATAM delegation, basically. And that is a lot of votes. They're holding it in Uzbekistan. There's a lot of votes within that region as well, obviously. Bensalem himself, an Emirati, holding on to the Middle East vote. So it isn't, even with all of the controversies that we could speak about, it isn't actually that straightforward. So I was talking earlier about how perhaps if Carlos Sainz does go ahead with this, how that might unfold in terms of his campaign. Does he get dirty and keep highlighting the controversies? I'm not really sure it's necessary. We all know they're there. I think there will be other names. I think other people will come forward. I think people will see what's been happening within the FIA. I think the fact, you know, Robert Reid left and has been vocal about it. David Richards has said, other names have been very vocal as well, speaking out against the FIA, which for me is quite unusual. So I think people might see this as quite a strong opportunity to run for FIA president. But obviously then you don't want too many names diluting the water. And then it ends up very much favouring the incumbent.
Yeah, absolutely right. And just in terms of the timing, the list we talked about there, has to be in no earlier than 42 days before the election and no later than 21 days. So that's the kind of the when push comes to shove, if you like. We're talking about basically October, I think. Doing some quick maths in my head, it's going to be sometime in October that everything has to be lined up in order to make this happen. Certainly going to be very interesting. As far as it kind of Formula One is concerned, it's an interesting time. We're about to go into a new set of F1 regulations in 2026. So whoever comes out of this election in December is going to be at the beginning of next season, obviously, is going to be presiding over a completely new set of regulations in the world of Formula One. But also there's the whole kind of discussions around, in between now and then, of course, the whole governance side of the Concorde Agreement has got to be sorted out. So they've already got the commercial agreement between Formula One and the teams and everybody. But then you've got the whole, how's the governance going to be done? That's yet to be resolved. And into the middle of all this has come your story and this decision by Carlos Sainz to consider running for FIA president. So it's pretty hot right now as far as what it means and the potential consequences for Formula One.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting around the Concorde Agreement. I think the FIA were a bit caught off guard by how quickly the Formula One side were able to do their side of the agreement. And now, as you say, we're waiting for the governance side. There hasn't been any movement. We're obviously asking about it. I was in Miami over the weekend. There doesn't seem to be making any progress with that from what we can tell. Yes, there is a lot happening this year. That actually has to be done before the end of the year because the Concorde Agreement is for 2026 onwards. So while Ben Salem and his team around him are fighting to get him a second term, they are also fighting the day job. And there is a not insubstantial amount of work to be done within the FIA. It is externally anyway, I would say it looks a bit of a mess. But yes, he is going to have a tough year ahead of him. And when you have such big names, such well-known names as Carlos Sainz Sr. coming out and saying, I'm right behind you, I'm taking a good look at this and I might be coming for you. It's probably not the best feeling for Ben Salem.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. So, but he's certainly a survivor and we'll see how it all plays out. And in terms of who's voting, it'll be the presidents of the National Sporting Federation. So David Richards is the boss of the Motorsport UK. It'll be him and his peers, each individually having the same vote. So it doesn't matter how big a country you represent, your vote still carries the same amount. And a lot of them, of course, have been coming to Grand Prix, going to races and that sort of thing. So there's a whole network of relationships there that are very complex, very, very complex. In addition to that, you've got all the motoring clubs, if you like, from each country. So the equivalent in the UK of the RAC, they'll be the ones who vote on the automotive side. Final question then for you, and then I'll let you go, Rebecca, is do we think that Sainz is, you mentioned earlier on, you think your instinct is that he will run, but there is another possibility, which is that he's out there almost like a kind of a stalking horse candidate, which you sometimes see in political elections, just to see how much support there is for an alternative. But the actual name on the ballot in December might not be necessarily Carlos Sainz. It might be somebody else. Do we see that is a possibility here?
I think there's a bit of an element of both, to be honest. I think, yes, it's someone willing to put their head above the parapet and say, is there any interest for an opposing candidate? I have a feeling if he can get the sport, as I say, he's such a huge name. I can fully believe that people approached him and said, look, have you thought about this? You're really well respected. You're a driver. There has been an enormous breakdown between the FIA and drivers. That does definitely need to be fixed. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see his name on the ballot paper at the end of the year. But I do also think there is a little bit of other people looking around and saying, oh, what kind of interest is Carlos getting? Who's going to back him? And maybe I could dip my toe in the water and see what's going on.
Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you so much. You can read Rebecca's story about Carlos Sainz considering running, well, two stories, in fact, considering running as the FIA president on Autosport and Motorsport. And remember that you can send your questions to James Allen on F1 at X. My thanks to Dre on production. Thanks to you for listening to this special emergency edition. And we'll be back with another podcast very soon.
You've been listening to the James Allen and F1 podcast, part of the Autosport Podcast Network. For the latest from our reporters at the racetrack during F1 weekends, check out the Autosport Podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.